Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
Well, what an incredible week we've had. Start of the week, I wrote to Steph and said, look, Steph, I want that song, In God We Trust, not knowing that in the words that it had, we will not be shaken. And then on Tuesday, of course, we had a big shaking. And then, of course, we have Hebrews 12:28, which Chris and Claudia spoke to us about. But Hebrews 12:27 says, all of creation will be shaken and removed so that only unshakable things will remain. Well, I have it on good account that it was all Dan's fault. Not you, Dan. The other Dan. You know, that would be funny if we weren't in the state that we're in, you know, the state of Victoria, the state of our country, the state of the world. But again, the thing is that God is in control and that God knows exactly what is happening. And as we listened to Chris do communion this morning, she read a mammoth amount of scriptures that I was going to speak, or I am going to speak about today. We didn't work together in regard to our scriptures, but you can see that God is in control and God knows what he's doing. But before I start this morning, I just want to add my condolences to what Andy said to Chris and Claudia and the family in regard to the passing of John Blacker. Here's a little photo that I dragged out last night. And there's a photo of John with Pastor Hal, myself, and Pastor Trevor Chandler. That was probably 10, 12 years ago, and I was doing a series with Men's Breakfast on Heroes of the Faith. And these three guys came and I interviewed them, and it was just a fantastic time. Chris, John, your dad was one of your fans, and he used to always find out when you were preaching, he used to come and sit just down there, and he would invariably come up to me afterwards and say, how's Christopher going? And he was just so thrilled that you were a part of Life Ministry Centre, that you're on Pastor Oxy's staff, and that, you know, Chris, he was incredibly proud of you, and I know that he will be sorely missed. He was, as I said, a father in the faith. He was a pivotal part of the charismatic move in the 70s in the denomination that he was in. And they, John and Val, together personally sacrificed a great deal as they obeyed God and followed that charismatic move. They ministered healing and deliverance to multitudes, and I mean multitudes. They were pivotal and they were leaders in there. So, John, well done, thou good and faithful servant. What a legacy you leave. And I'm sure that you're probably sitting up there now having a chat with Hal and Trevor and working out what parts of the doctrine that you got wrong and what you'd like to tell us right now. This morning I've titled my message, In God We Trust, or Do We? And it's interesting that often I get messages via a picture or an analogy or something. This message came from just that word, In God We Trust, one of the mottos that comes out of America. But as I had In God We Trust, I was showering and I felt, yeah, but do we? So with all that's going on, it's an important question. And I believe one that we need to settle in our hearts. Every day, challenges are testing our trust in God. Fear and anxiety can rob us from faith if we allow it to. The future seems very cloudy at the moment. And fear and worry are taking up too much room in too many hearts and minds. But let's remember this, God is already in all of our tomorrows. Let me say that again because it's an important statement. God is already in all of our tomorrows. The Bible assures us that God knows our way, that he has a plan for us. In short, trusting in God and trusting in God's ways is the best way for us. From Scripture we know that God's timing is always perfect. We know that what the enemy means for bad, God will turn around for good. We know that God will never leave us nor forsake us. We know that all things will work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. We know that we can be confident in this very thing because the Bible says that he who hath begun a good work in you will perform it to the day of Jesus Christ. And then, of course, we know that God's ways And God's thoughts are not our ways or our thoughts, because His ways are far higher than our ways. We may never know why certain things happen, but we can trust that God's plan is for our good and that He goes before us. Trusting in God doesn't mean that we have to put on a smile or a fake appearance of faith. Sometimes trusting in God is crying out to Him in our pain. In fact, you read a lot of Psalms and it talks about David crying out to God. Crying out to God is different to praying to God. Crying out to God is letting God know your anguish, letting God know your pain, letting God know exactly what's happening on you. You always know the difference in a baby's cry. A baby that's crying just because it's crying sounds very different to a baby that's crying that's in pain. And the mother knows the difference. God knows the difference when we cry out to Him in our anguish. He hears us. God never asks us to figure it all out. He just asks us to trust Him, to recognize His leadership, His sovereignty in our lives. Our security and our peace rest on God alone, not our circumstances, not other people, not our own ability, but God alone. For me, for Graham Nelson, my confidence, my assurance comes from God's Word. And again, and I continually say it to you, I thank God for the foundation of my life. I thank God that I grew up in a Christian home. I thank God that the Word of God was read in my home. I thank God that my parents took me to church. I thank God that God led me to this church, to Pastor Oxley, where that foundation of the Word was so pivotal in everything we did. And so my confidence, my assurance comes from God's Word. And so from the outset of this message, I want to lay a few of those scriptures down. Some of them Chris has already read in communion. I want to lay them down as a foundation. A foundation that I can guarantee you will not be moved or will not be shaken. The notes will be on the website. You can drag them down and you can read them. But I encourage you to look at these scriptures again, to meditate on these scriptures, to pray, read them, to memorize them until they become your rock as well. You don't have to remember them all. You just want to write down the references as I read them to you. Let me read you a few scriptures right now. Isaiah 12:2 says, "Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and I will not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength, my song, and He has become my salvation." In Isaiah 26:3, "You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you." In Isaiah 26:4, "Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord God is an everlasting rock." Isaiah 41:10, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, I'll help you, I'll uphold you with my righteous right hand." And then in Proverbs 29:25, "The fear of the man lays a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is safe." Psalm 9:10, "And for those who know your name, put their trust in you. For you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you." Psalm 20, verse 7. This is one of my favorites, one of those scriptures that again was on my victory sheet back in Bible college. "Some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. They collapse and fall, but we rise and stand upright." Let me take a little bit of a detour right now. Let me paint a picture of what this scripture really looks like. When chariots were used in war, the war chariot was a powerful weapon, as the most modern missile is today in our arsenal. It was an incredible machine consisting of two large wheels spinning on an axle. At the center of those spokes of the wheel would often be a blade-like object protruding out, which would incur damage when sideswiping other chariots. Most chariots held three people, consisting of the warrior, the shield bearer, and of course the driver or the charioteer. Of course, these chariots were drawn by the most powerful, beautiful horses. Some Persian chariots were known to have been drawn by four horses lined up side by side on the battlefield. These fighting machines caused fear and intimidation at their sight. And once in motion, they sped along at breakneck speed, slaughtering all the enemy in their path. Yet God had instructed the children of Israel not to have chariots, hence the reason of the passage we've read. So you can imagine the terror the people of Israel must have felt whenever they looked across the valley and saw their enemies lined up in these fierce pieces of machinery, ready to attack them. Yet note how the Lord instructed them to face their enemy on the battlefield. Back in Deuteronomy 20, we read this: "When you go out to war against your enemy, and you see horses and chariots and an army larger than your own, you shall not be afraid of them, for the Lord your God is with you, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt. For the Lord your God is he who goes with you to fight for you against your enemy, to give you a victory." In short, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we are to trust in the name of the Lord. We're not to put our trust in man-made objects like the chariot. We're not to put our trust in God-made objects like the horses or gold or silver or whatever. Our trust is to be placed in the name of the Lord. The Bible says that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. You can see why I love that scripture. It has an incredible imagery to it. And yet, right back in Deuteronomy, God tells the children of Israel not to put their trust in that. As we continue on with some of these foundational scriptures, Psalm 28, verse 7, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. In him my heart trusts and I am helped. My heart exults, and with my song I will give thanks to him. Many are the sorrows of the wicked, but the steadfast love surrounds those who trust in the Lord. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will act. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. When I am afraid, I shall put my trust in you, in God whose word I praise. In God I trust, I shall not be afraid. What can flesh do to me? On God rests my salvation and my glory. My mighty rock, my refuge is God. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your hearts before him, for God is a refuge for us. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say to my Lord, my refuge, my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths." And then finally, Jeremiah 17. "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is in the Lord. He is like a tree planted by water that sends out its root by the stream, does not fear when heat comes, for its leaves remain green. It will not be anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit." Why? Because our trust is in the Lord. So, in God we trust, or do we? Now, I know that talking about trusting in God is like talking about prayer or talking about reading the Bible. Everyone knows that that's what we should be doing. Yet, in situations both large and small, we often find this an incredibly difficult thing to do. Why? Why do we find it so hard? Why don't we trust in God? Let me share some of the whys that came to mind as I mused on this question, because it's sometimes the whys that help us to bring our thoughts around. The first why I came up with was fear. Fear of the unknown. Fear of God. Fear of man. Fear of failure. Fear causes us to give up prematurely, or often never to try in the first place. It's no wonder God says to us over and over again in Scripture, do not fear. You notice a lot of the Scriptures I read were out of Isaiah. For in the time that Isaiah was written, people were in desperate state. And that's why Isaiah is full of trusting in God passages. And as a leader, it was Isaiah's job to role model to the children of Israel what God was wanting to do. Just as much as Jesus role modeled to us what we should do, Isaiah was saying the same. And he said, I will trust. I will not be afraid. Second why was worry. Worry that we or that things will fall apart. What we fail to understand, I think, is that exactly that is what's going to happen if we don't put our trust in God. Things will fall apart. In Psalm 127, it says, unless the Lord builds the house, we labor in vain. We should put our trust in God. We should lay everything at His feet. He wants us to. He asks us to. It's when we ask Him, it's when we pray to Him that we are demonstrating that we are trusting Him. The third point would be weakness. Some people think that trusting in God is a sign of weakness. In fact, I know of many who found it hard to even become Christian because they thought that that was a sign of weakness, that God was a crutch and they didn't need a crutch. Well, that's not the truth. God isn't a crutch. He is our rock that we can stand on. In 2 Corinthians 12, 9 to 10, and I'm giving you a lot of scripture because I want you to hear what the Word of God says. But He said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness, in your weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weakness, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then I am content with weakness. I'm content with insults and content with hardship and persecutions and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Strong, why? Strong because we've put our trust in God. Strong because we can see the power of God start to work through us. It's not weakness to put your trust in God. Another one I had was past betrayals or negative experiences, especially by authority figures. You know, and I've heard this many, 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 many times from Christians and from people who look at Christians who have listened to stories about Christians being hurt. You know, God is not man. Man will let you down. God will never let you down. In Psalm 118, it says, it's better to take refuge in the Lord than to put your trust in man. Another one would be, you've got a distorted image of what God is like. I think if we think back to our Character of God series, you know, we saw that we serve a God who loves us with inexhaustible love, no strings attached. As Dave Hernandez used to say, He has our best interest at heart, yet many of us have trouble seeing God like that. And consciously we are thinking, how can I let go and trust a God that lets you down? Can I tell you now, it's me that lets God down, not God that lets me down. Another one would be not wanting to lose control. And when you think about that, you think you've got control of your life, but you haven't. Letting go of control and trusting God is the core of our Christian life. Every day, every hour, every moment, every year. In Philippians 1, Paul says, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Jesus said, I tell you the truth, that the Son can do nothing by himself. He does only what he sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, the Son also does. Jesus said again, Father, if you are willing to remove this cup from me, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And then finally, again, Jesus talking, he says, truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. You know, handing everything over to God and giving God control and allowing him to run and lead your life is the most incredible thing that you can do. It's a ride like no other ride, and Jesus showed us how to do it. Another one, and this came out of a group of ministers that I meet with every week for breakfast, and we've been doing it via Zoom, and I asked them the question, why don't people trust in God? And a number of them said this, and I just thought it was such an easy thing to see. I hadn't seen it as clearly as some of them said. Talking of healing, one of them said, look, people don't trust God with healing anymore because we have such an incredible medical system in our country that God is not the first port of call. You know, oftentimes we only find people trusting God for healing when the medical guys can't do anything. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't go to doctors. I believe that doctors are a part of the medical or part of God's system of healing, just as much as so many other things that God has given us. But on the same token, it's God that is the healer. It is God that we should be trusting in. If you were over to Uganda like we do, you would see the poverty, you would see the lack in their medical system. They run to witch doctors because that's all they can afford to do and that's all they know to do. It's about time we started running to God for our healing. Materialism is another reason why we don't need God or think we don't need God. Again, we are so blessed to live in Australia. We don't really know what it's like to be poor. And even those on the lowest, those on welfare are placed in the top 3% when it comes to income in the world. We shouldn't be trusting in chariots. We shouldn't be trusting in horses. Our trust has to be in God. And it's God who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, the Bible says. All things are of God. How quickly, how easily he could shake the financial systems that we think we're trusting in when we should really realize that God is our provider. The other reason we think we don't need God is because we have so much knowledge. We're building so many things. We're inventing so many things. And as I thought about that, I thought about the Tower of Babel. We think that there is nothing that we can't do. Yet look what Genesis 11 says. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of man had built. And the Lord said, behold, they are one people. They all have one language. And this is only the beginning of what they can do. And nothing that they propose to do will now be possible for them. So what did God do? He confused their tongue. He scattered them. So they had to trust in him again. And the last one in we don't need God is we want it now. We live in a society that expects instant results. And when what we're believing and trusting God for doesn't happen in the time frame that we expect, we think God has let us down, and so we stop trusting him. And we start to get our sticky little fingers in and start to try and help God, start to create some Ishmaels instead of waiting for God to do what he's promised to do, and that's to provide our needs. So I've given you a few whys, and obviously there would be a lot more, but I think you get the point. Trusting God comes from taking baby steps. Trusting God comes from gaining memorial stones one by one. And the more memorial stones that we gain, the more testimony we gain of God intervening, God working for us, the more we keep trusting in Him. But we've got to start trusting Him. We've got to start relying and leaning on Him. Trusting God comes from learning how to hear His voice, which we do by spending time with Him. And of course, you would know of John 10. Maybe you could show that clip for me, please, Al. John 10 says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I will give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand." We spend time hearing God's voice, getting to know Him, reading His Bible. We trust God when we dream. The more we commit ourselves, the greater the possibilities. The more we try, the greater the reward. God wants us to trust Him even when we're afraid. God wants us to try again in spite of those negative experiences or negative voices. God offers us an abundance of resources, a well that never will run dry. God gives us a renewed spirit with a word of hope, abounding grace and unconditional forgiveness. So we can put our trust in God because God is always in the midst. In Isaiah again, it says, "Shout and sing for joy, O inhabitants of Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel." So as I close this morning, let me pose one last question. What is your mantra? What is your slogan when it comes to trusting in God? America's slogan, I said it at the start, is "In God we trust." It's unfortunate that when that slogan or when that motto was birthed, America actually did trust in God. In fact, "In God we trust" first appeared on a 2-cent coin in 1864. Republican Charles Bennett proclaimed, "In these days when imperialistic and materialistic communism seek to attack and destroy freedom, we should continually look for ways to strengthen the foundations of our freedom." He continued in Parliament by arguing that while the sentiment of trust in God is universal and timeless, these particular four words, "In God we trust," are indigenous to our country. That was said way back when communism, materialism, was trying to take over America. "In God we trust." It's on their coins. It's on their notes. What's Australia's motto? I wonder whether you know that. I had to look it up. I didn't know it. Officially, Australia's motto is "Advance Australia." How self-serving. How big-headed. How selfish. But then again, when you think of our character and our nature, it could be "She'll be right, mate," or "I did it my way." I wonder what your motto is. And again, as I asked these ministers, it was amazing that most of them gave me a scripture, gave me a word, gave me something that was real to them. One said, "My motto is seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all things shall be added unto you." Another one said, "In Him we live and move and have our being." It could be, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." It could be, "Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world." Or, "My God will provide all my needs." For me, I have "Let go and let God," or "Do the best you can, let God do the rest." I looked up Martin Luther. He's one of my favorites at the moment. And he said, I have held many things in my hands and I've lost them all. But whatever I placed in God's hands, that I still possess. He also said, feelings come, feelings go, feelings are deceiving. My security is the word of God. Nothing else is worth believing in. Another one of his was, though all my heart shall feel condemned for want of some sweet token, there is one greater than my heart whose word cannot be broken. I will trust in God's unchanging word till soul and body sever. For through, although all things shall pass away, his word shall stand forever. You know, we are living in trying times. And I personally believe that the arguments about vaccine, about passports, about freedoms, about rights, are all a diversion of the enemy. A diversion that might have some truth in it, but it's not the truth. A diversion that is causing us to take our eye off the ball. Why do I say that? Because I know what Mr. Andrews and the government at present is doing under the cover of COVID. Just this week that's just gone, he announced in Parliament that Christian schools will now have to hire LGBTI staff and will not be able to sack anybody for sexual reasons. We've seen the conversion bill pass. We know that there is an attack on family. There's an attack on the Word of God and the way God created family. We know that there are more things coming. We also know in organisations like ours that we are being more and more forced through curriculum and through funding of what we can and can't teach. Yet here we are. Rather than trusting in God, we're fighting and allowing diversions to rob us. No wonder hearts are failing. No wonder we have doubt. No wonder we have confusion. No wonder we have disunity. No wonder there is fear. People have taken their eye off the ball, have stopped trusting that God is sovereign, that God is real, that His word will never fail, and that what the enemy means for bad, He will turn around for good. You know, I could look at some of the things that are happening right now as an organization, as the one that heads up this organization, and I could allow fear to rob me, but I have seen God move too many times now to know that He can't and not going to move again. Yes, we are going to see shakings. We are going to see persecutions. We are going to see many things. Yes, it might be end time events. But the Bible still tells me that God has got a place of safety for His people. I'd rather choose to trust in God than in man. It's time to renew our focus. It's time to ensure that our trust and confidence is in God and in His Word. As Isaiah 6 says, that peace, that perfect peace that passes all understanding, comes from putting our trust in God and keeping our mind on Him. Can I encourage you to download the notes, to go through the scriptures, to read through what I've just said again, and determine that you're not going to let this world system, you're not going to let what's happening around you rob you from the foundation that you have through and in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Good morning, church. Well, it's a real privilege, as always, to be able to share the Word of God with you around communion this morning. So even though we can't participate in church together, we can participate together from the comfort of our own homes. So let's enjoy this communion time this morning. Before we begin, I just wanted to say a happy birthday to somebody. Today is my mum's birthday and she is 96 years old. So I want to say happy birthday to you, Mum. Have a lovely day and I love you very much. So let's now just start by reading 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 to 26. Read along with me. For I received from the Lord himself that which I passed on to you. It was given to me personally that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was treacherously delivered up, and while his betrayal was in progress, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this to call me affectionately to remembrance." Similarly, when supper was ended, he took the cup also, saying, "This cup is the new covenant, ratified and established in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it to call me affectionately to remembrance." For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are representing and signifying and proclaiming the fact of the Lord's death until he comes again. So this morning I want to focus on the words, "in remembrance of me." So what do we remember at this time of communion? Obviously, we remember that Jesus died on the cross, that he rose again from the dead. We also remember that that sacrifice of Jesus offers us forgiveness of sins and freedom from spiritual slavery. We also remember that through the death and resurrection of Jesus, that we personally can have eternal life if we believe in him and if we ask him to come and live in our hearts and lead us and guide us through life. Communion time reminds us of Christ's ultimate love for us. It's the beginning of the new covenant that God made with us, his people. We remember what he has done for each one of us. In remembrance of me. It means don't forget me. Do this and remember me. Think about me. Recall to memory today, right now. Do this to remember the forgiveness of sins, eternal life, the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, God living in our hearts, but do this also to remember all the blessings and promises which he won for us on the cross. He wants us to remember the promises that we read about in the Word of God, the promises that he made with us, his covenant children. That's what I want us to focus on this morning as we share communion. His promises made available to each one of us through his death and resurrection. So the world we're living in today certainly lends us to want to look for something more positive and comforting and reassuring. So pandemics, earthquakes, all these things that are happening round about us right now. But if we look to God's promises, our confidence and our trust in him builds up as we read and rely on his promises to us. Remembrance is actually a cornerstone of our faith. It's not just remembering a historical event, something that happened 2,000 years ago, but it's a present participation with God right here, a living Christ with us right now. We need to feed our hearts and our minds on the truths of God. And even, as I said before, even in the day and age that we're living in, we need to feed on him because his promises give us hope and a peace. God promises to supply all our needs. He promises to give us rest. He promises abundant life. He promises that all things will work together for good. So many promises. And this is God we're talking about. The all-knowing, all-present, all-powerful, all-loving God who is making these promises to us. This morning, I want you to make it personal for you. Take the time right now to think about God's promises for you personally. Put your name in scripture, believe it for yourself, and then you're going to have peace as you trust in God and his promises. Let me give you an example. Isaiah 41 verse 10 reads like this, and I'm going to put my own name into it. "Don't be afraid, Chris, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, Chris, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, Chris, and help you. I will hold you up, Chris, with my victorious right hand." What a beautiful promise right there for me personally, and it's for you personally as well. So I took a picture of the cross on our church property through this week, and I've overlaid it with some scriptures, And I'd like you to personalise these scriptures this morning around communion time. Read the scriptures, but read them as a personal testimony for yourself. This will bring you hope, it will bring you peace, and it will bring you comfort. And then just take the communion as you feel free to as you're reading the scriptures. Let's pray together. Father, we just thank you this morning for your cross. We thank you that not only does it represent our eternal life, but it represents all the blessings that you want us to be able to participate in here, right now, on earth. So, Father, I just pray that those promises, that as we read them, they will feed our souls and that we will remember everything that you have done for us, everything that you have won for us on that cross. Lord God, we just thank you for all you have done in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, church.